Kidney School, www.kidneyschool.org, Module 16, Long-Term Effects of Dialysis. Hi, my name's Nancy Spaeth, and I'm a member of the Life Options Council. My kidneys failed in 1966 when I was 19 years old. Today, I'm a grandma, and I work full-time as a rehab nurse. I'm having a really good life with kidney failure, and you can too. The great humorist Mark Twain once said, "Never put off to tomorrow what can be put off until the day after tomorrow." This is a classic Twain looking at life a little off-center. But the reason we find it funny is that it has some truth in it. When we face something tough or unpleasant, we often prefer to avoid it for as long as we can. Sometimes we ignore it until it forces us to notice it. Some hard things in life can be put off or ignored, but kidney failure isn't one of them. It will demand your attention, even if you try to pretend it doesn't exist. This module is about long-term health problems that can occur with dialysis. By taking good care of yourself, you can delay or prevent some problems that might otherwise arise down the road. You can have more time, feel better, and be able to do what's important to you. We want you to be able to take steps to protect yourself and live long and well with kidney failure. Whether you're new to dialysis and looking down the road, or you've been on it for years and are now running into some of these issues, this module is for you. At the end, you can make a personal plan that lists the main points we've made and reflects your action points. So let's get started. Choosing the life you want. Your best bet to feel your best and avoid long-term effects of dialysis is to make good choices and take care of yourself. To do this, you need to truly believe that your life is worth living and that you have something to live for. So what is most important to you? Sometimes in the course of getting through one busy day after another, we can lose track of our dreams and what we want out of life, what we want to do for others, what we want to achieve, to be, or to do. Here's a chance to take a few moments and think about your dreams. What inspires you in life? What gives you the most joy? What are you looking forward to? Here are some possibilities. Caring for my children and my grandchildren. Helping a loved one who needs me. Seeing my family member get married. Seeing a loved one graduate from high school or college. Getting a college degree or graduate degree myself. Finishing high school or getting a GED. Taking a trip. Getting a promotion at work. Having a special birthday or event. Getting married. Becoming good at a sport or hobby. Winning the lottery. Having a holiday celebration. Becoming famous. Going to a family reunion. Or there is nothing for me to look forward to. Are you putting limits on yourself because of your dialysis and stopping yourself from doing things you could do? It's easy to take on a sick role. But with a chronic disease that won't go away, focusing only on your illness can leave you feeling empty. Your life needs to be about more than just dialysis. What can you plan or look forward to? If you can't think of anything to look forward to, you might be depressed. Signs of depression can include not enjoying things like you used to, loss of appetite, or eating too much, trouble sleeping or sleeping too much, feeling irritable or angry, feeling sad and down, loss of hope, feeling worthless or believing that everything goes wrong for you, having no energy, or being exhausted. It can be hard to sort out depression from kidney disease or other illnesses you may have, but depression can be treated. Getting help can improve your outlook on life and inspire you to take good care of yourself. Every dialysis clinic has a social worker with a master's degree and training to help people who are depressed. He or she wants to know if you're depressed so you can get the help you need. You can learn more about this in Module 5, Coping with Kidney Disease. Another option to improve poor quality of life may be to change the type of dialysis you do. Treatments that work more like healthy kidneys can reduce symptoms and help you sleep better. You may think more clearly and have more energy. To learn more about types of dialysis, listen to Module 2, Treatment Options for Kidney Failure. A poor quality of life may make you think that your best days are behind you. When you have severe pain or illness, A day may come when you choose to stop dialysis. If so, talk with your loved ones and your care team. You are the only one who can make this choice, but you'll feel better if those close to you know your thoughts. You may also want to talk with your minister, rabbi, priest, or imam. Most religions think of stopping treatment as letting nature take its course. It's not suicide. If you choose to stop treatment, your doctor can refer you to a hospice, which can help you and your family. You would also have a chance to gather your loved ones around you, and these can be treasured times that most people don't have. Embracing life and knowing why you do it can guide you to make choices that will help you create the future you want. In this module, we're going to focus on four long-term problems: heart disease, bone disease, amyloidosis, nerve damage. Let's start with heart disease. Heart disease is the number one cause of death for people on dialysis, just as it is for other Americans. When you take steps to protect your heart, you improve your chances of living long and living well on dialysis. Dialysis fluid and your heart. Much of how you feel after each dialysis treatment depends on how much fluid is removed and how quickly. In the long term, how fluid is removed can affect your heart. When your kidneys fail, fluid builds up in your body in three spaces: inside your cells, between your cells, and in your bloodstream. Dialysis can only remove fluid that is in your bloodstream. Only about 15% of the fluid in your body is in your bloodstream at any given time. Dialysis takes fluid out of your blood. At the same time, some of the fluid in and between your cells slowly moves into your blood to replace it. Dialysis can take fluid out of your blood faster than it can move in. Even after a treatment, you may still have extra fluid in and between your cells. Taking off a lot of fluid in a short time can make your blood pressure drop. This can harm your access and give you painful cramps and a headache. You may even feel nauseated or throw up. It may take 6 hours or more to feel well after a standard in-center hemodialysis HD treatment when a lot of fluid is taken off quickly. On peritoneal dialysis, or PD, taking off a lot of fluid can make you feel sick and washed out. Over time, extra fluid can build up in your body and it can damage your heart. Trials and tribulations of fluid removal. Feel like you have the flu after dialysis treatment? You're not alone. If you have to take off a lot of fluid in a short time, you can feel pretty wretched. Here's how one patient describes it. Ed says, "I always look the worst of all the other patients when I come off the machine. It never fails that I always feel not only tired, but very weak. Sometimes I have a slight headache or dizziness. I have tried everything. I always have to sit for a while, 10 or 15 minutes, to get myself together. I get on the scale, and then I go out to my car, and then have to sit a little while longer to get myself together so that I can drive home. This is an every dialysis day ritual for the past 3 years or so. I always head straight for bed. The next morning, after enough sleep, I feel fine again. I know some people who come off of dialysis feeling great. I don't understand that. I can hardly function then. I know of some people who go to work after dialysis, and I don't understand how they do it. I feel weak climbing stairs after treatment. What is wrong with me? My labs look great. It is just when I come off of that machine that I catch it hard. One of the things I miss about peritoneal is that I did not have the hangover that hemo gives me." Left ventricular hypertrophy, or LVH. Each day, your heart beats about 115,000 times. It's your heart's job to pump blood through your body so each cell gets the oxygen and nutrients it needs. Your heart has four pumping chambers. The largest is the left ventricle. If your body holds too much fluid, your heart has to work much harder. And if you have high blood pressure, your blood vessels become stiff, which makes more work for your heart too. These problems can force your heart to work so hard that the left ventricle becomes thick and enlarged. This is called left ventricular hypertrophy, or LVH. With LVH, overgrown, flabby heart muscles take up space that could be used for pumping blood. When the heart can't pump out all the blood that comes in, blood backs up into the lungs. In time, the heart can fail slowly or quickly. LVH is the leading cause of sudden death in people on dialysis. The best way to avoid LVH is by keeping fluid levels in your body as close to normal as possible all the time. Also, if you have diabetes, controlling your blood sugar will help you keep from drinking too much because you're thirsty. If you have high blood pressure or trouble with water weight gain, eating less salt can help. Salty foods make you retain fluid. Having salt in your system also makes you thirsty, so you drink more. This means a high-salt diet is a double whammy for your fluid intake. To learn more about eating less salt, listen to Module 9, Nutrition and Fluids for People on Dialysis. PD and LVH. If you need to use 4.25 bags often, or you retain the solution and don't get good drains, talk with your PD nurse. If your doctor prescribes blood pressure pills, take them as directed. Standard in-center HD and LVH. On standard in-center HD, the most important thing you can do to prevent LVH is to follow your fluid limits and take your blood pressure and water pills as your doctor prescribes. Healthy kidneys work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 168 hours a week. With 9 to 12 hours of treatment per week, you need to do part of the work of cleaning your blood by drinking less fluid. If you choose to do more dialysis like daily or nocturnal home HD, your treatment will remove more fluid so you can have a more normal fluid intake. Your center may do sodium modeling, which is adding some sodium into your blood to make your treatments feel better. If so, you may be left with extra salt that can make you thirsty. This can make it much harder to follow your fluid limits, which can cause a vicious cycle. Eating less salt and drinking less fluid may allow the staff to use less sodium in your modeling program. Cardiac emergency. We hope you never have problems with your heart. This patient had a close call, and now he feels better. Jerry said, "I had quite an experience this weekend. They think it was a problem with not taking enough fluid from me on dialysis, and my dry weight should be lower than they have it. Anyway, early Friday morning, I had trouble breathing, and I was gasping for air and afraid I was dying. I called 911, and the emergency team came within 5 minutes. They gave me oxygen and put in an IV. I was nearly passing out, but they made me stay awake. In the emergency room, they continued with oxygen and gave me some morphine to ease my panic. They took x-rays, etc. I had too much fluid in my lungs, and it looked for a while like I had congestive heart failure. My blood pressure was up to 200 over 125. They were ready to put a tube into my lungs, but my breathing got a little better, so they canceled that. Thank goodness. Then they rushed me up to dialysis in the hospital. I felt much better after that, as fluid from around my lungs was taken out. Then they thought I might have had some heart damage, so they ran me through the CT scan, sound scan, simulated treadmill, blood work, etc., and said there may be damage to a small part on the bottom of my heart, but they would treat it with medicine. I never had any chest pains, so they figured it was not a crisis at the moment. I am feeling pretty good now and came home Monday. I hope never to have to go through that again. Daily or nocturnal HD and LVH. Daily or nocturnal HD help you protect your heart by taking off a lot of fluid, but slowly and gently. Most people who do home HD treatments can take fewer blood pressure pills, maybe even none at all. Statins and heart failure. Like millions of American adults, you may have high cholesterol. Many people are prescribed a statin drug for high cholesterol. Statins lower cholesterol by blocking a certain pathway in your body. Some common statins include Lipitor, Astorvastatin, Pravacol, Pravastatin, Crestor, Rosuvastatin, Zocor, Simvastatin, Lescal, Fluvastatin, or Vytorin, Simvastin, plus Ezetimibe. Do you need CoQ10? If you take a statin, ask your doctor if you should take the supplement coenzyme Q10 or CoQ10-2. Statins use up CoQ10, which is a key enzyme the body needs for energy. Not having enough CoQ10 can cause congestive heart failure. testing your heart. The good news is that LVH can get better. If you don't have it, you can help prevent it. And if you do have it, you can take steps to improve your heart health. Ask your doctor about testing for LVH. You can have it with no symptoms, or you may be short of breath, dizzy, or have chest pain. Research has found a number of tests that can check for the problem. You may want to ask your doctor about echocardiogram. An echo uses painless sound waves to show your pumping chambers and valves. It will show the size of your left ventricle and how well it works. The result can predict future problems. 24-hour blood pressure, or BP. With a small machine on your belt and a cuff on your arm, your blood pressure can be checked all day and all night. This tells your doctor much more than a single check. If your BP is high all the time, or does not drop at night, it should, you should take steps to lower it. Bioimpedance analysis, or BIA. BIA can check for fluid overload by looking for fluid in and outside of your cells. This technique uses sensors on your head and neck. One type is called BioZ. It is painless and not invasive. BIA predicts LVH in people on dialysis. Or C-reactive protein, or CRP. A CRP blood test measures inflammation, which has been linked to heart damage in people on dialysis. If tests show that you have LVH, some things you could do would include quitting smoking. Besides causing lung and kidney damage, tobacco use has been found to raise the risk of LVH by 42%. If you smoke, stopping can help protect your heart. Can't do it alone? Ask your doctor about prescription drugs to help you, or join a stop smoking program. Eat enough protein. Low serum albumin or protein levels seem to make LVH get worse faster. If you can't eat enough protein, you may not be getting enough dialysis to keep up your appetite. Getting more treatment can help protect your heart. Ask about ARBs or ACE inhibitors. Some blood pressure drugs in these two classes have helped to reverse LVH, including losartan, losartan plus enalapril, valsartan, and imidapril. Getting bone disease treated. Having renal bone disease makes LVH worse. Taking active vitamin D, or calcitrol, has been shown to improve it. So, if your doctor says it's safe, you can do your bones and heart a favor at the same time. We'll talk more about bone disease later. If you are on standard in-center HD, get more dialysis. Daily and nocturnal HD remove much more fluid from, in, and between your cells. These treatments can help prevent or treat LVH. In a year-long study, both options shrunk oversized left ventricles much more than standard in-center HD. Nocturnal HD improves LVH in patients with known heart problems. The treatment helps make arteries less stiff so they respond as they should to stress. People who switched from standard to nocturnal HD had less LVH and lower blood pressure. Your dialysis schedule can also affect your risk of sudden death from LVH. Two large studies found twice the risk of sudden death on Monday or Tuesday after the weekend than on any other day of the week. The ups and downs of treatments 3 days per week are hard on the heart. Doing treatments at least every other day is more gentle. Dialysis removing toxins. As we said before, how you feel after dialysis treatment is all about removing fluid. In the long term, how you feel depends on other illnesses you may also have and how well toxins are being removed. Think of a dialyzer as a filter you might use to pan for gold. The holes need to be big enough to let toxins or small gravel and rocks out, but not so big that they let blood cells or protein, the gold, escape. In your blood, there are three main sizes of toxins to remove, so they don't build up to harmful levels. The first, small molecule, like urea, easily fit through the dialyzer holes. They are very easy to remove. Scientists have found 68 small molecule toxins. The second is the middle molecules, like beta-2 microglobulin. More about this later. Are larger and harder to remove. There are 10 middle molecule toxins. And last, large molecules, like cytokines, hormone-like signal proteins, are even harder to remove. 12 large molecule toxins have been found. The more middle and large molecules your treatments can remove, along with the small ones, the more likely you'll feel well for a long time. Middle and large molecules take more time to remove. They pass through the dialyzer very slowly. Adequacy of dialysis tests are based on small molecules, but it is the middle and large ones that can cause problems for you down the road. Removing toxins with PD. Since you do PD all day long or for a long time each night, it can do a very good job of removing middle and large molecules. Over time, your peritoneum may remove fewer toxins and less fluid. One sign that this may be going on is if you start to retain the PD fluid. A peritoneal equilibrium test, or PET, can also tell. You can help protect your membrane if you, 1, use careful technique and avoid infection. 2, watch your fluid intake so you can use as few 4.25% bags as you can, because the sugar content of the 4.25% bags can damage the peritoneal lining. Use icodextrin PD fluid for the night dwell instead of a fluid based on sugar. Removing toxins with standard in-center HD. Standard in-center HD does a good job of taking out small molecules. It does not do as well with middle and large molecules. An option for better toxin removal with standard HD may be to use 2 dialyzers at each treatment. In a small study of people who weighed more than 176 pounds or 80 kilograms, health status was better for 1 year when 2 dialyzers were used. Reuse of the dialyzers would bring down the cost. It can be tricky to do with machines that were built for 1 dialyzer, though. Longer HD treatments equal longer life. A study of more than 22,000 people on dialysis all over the world found that longer HD treatments were linked with longer life. In fact, each extra 30 minutes of treatment improved the chance for survival by 7%. With dialysis, more is better. Removing toxins with daily HD. Daily HD does a good job of taking out small molecules and a good job with middle and large molecules. Removing toxins with nocturnal HD. Nocturnal HD does the best job of taking out molecules of all sizes. If you are doing 3 nights per week of dialysis, a way to remove even more toxins and fluid is to add a night or two. This can't always be done. Medicare pays for 3 treatments per week. Your doctor may be able to write a letter to Medicare to see if a 4th or more treatment would be paid for. If you have a health care plan through a job, it may pay for the other treatments. People who do nocturnal treatments 5 or 6 nights per week say they feel even better. Most people still have some kidney function when they start dialysis. Keeping this function as long as you can helps dialysis work better. Below are some ways that you can help keep your kidney function. Which ones can you do? Quit smoking if you smoke. Smoking causes damage to the kidney filters. Keep your blood pressure in the target range your doctor gives you. Keep your blood sugar in the target range if you have diabetes. Protect your kidneys from X-ray contrast dye. The radiologist can dilute the dye, flush it out of your body with saline, use a less harmful dye, or prescribe a drug called Mucomist that may help prevent damage. Avoid non-steroidal pain pills called NSAIDs, like ibuprofen and naproxen. Some common brands are Advil, Aleve, and Motrin, but there are many others. Not sure of a pill you take as an NSAID? Ask your pharmacist or doctor. Ask your kidney doctor before you take any herbs. Some can cause damage to the kidneys. Ask about a new drug before you take it. Some drugs can harm the kidney, and any drug that you are allergic to may cause kidney damage. Know what you're taking. Your pharmacist can tell you if a drug can hurt your kidneys. If another doctor prescribes a drug for you, ask your nephrologist before you take it. Renal osteodystrophy, or bone disease. Renal osteodystrophy is bone disease due to kidney failure. The problem is quite common. Most people on dialysis have some degree of it. Bone changes can start many years before symptoms appear, like joint pain, bone pain, or fractures. To understand renal osteodystrophy, you need to know a little bit about your bones. Bones have three key jobs in your body: to hold up your body and protect your organs, to store minerals your body needs, and to make red blood cells. Bones seem solid, even rock-like. But if you look at them under a microscope, old bone is being broken down and new bone is being formed. This is called remodeling, and it's like redoing your kitchen. If you tear down walls without leaving supports, the ceiling may fall in. If old bone breaks down faster than new bone can replace it, your bones could become weak. Weak bones can break. Healthy kidneys help ensure healthy bones by keeping the bone-building materials, or calcium and phosphorus, in balance in your blood. Calcium. Calcium is the most common mineral in your body. It's needed in your blood in very precise amounts to send nerve signals, help your muscles work, aid in clotting your blood when you're hurt, and control fluid balance in your cells. You get calcium in your body by eating foods that contain it. Dairy is a good source of calcium. Most calcium in your body is stored in your bones, like a bank. Remodeling your bones is a way for your body to take calcium out of your bank. The National Kidney Foundation Kidney Disease Outcomes Quality Initiative, or NKF-KDOQI, guidelines for people on dialysis say that your blood calcium levels should be at the lower end of the normal range for your center's lab. In most cases, this means from about 8.4 to 10.0 milligrams per deciliter, and not higher than 10.2 milligrams per deciliter. Phosphorus. Phosphorus is a common mineral that your body needs for energy. It's found in nearly all foods, and especially in meats, dairy products, whole grains, chocolate, cola drinks, and dried beans. Like calcium, phosphorus is stored in your bones. Remodeling lets small amounts of it into your blood. Healthy kidneys remove extra phosphorus from your blood. When the kidneys fail, extra phosphorus can bind with calcium to create sharp calcium phosphate crystals. These crystals can cause itching, skin sores, and worse. In the long term, having the wrong levels of phosphorus in your blood can harm your bones. Phosphorus is hard to remove with dialysis, and each time you eat, you take in more. The NKF-KDOQI guidelines for people on dialysis say that your phosphorus level should be between 3.5 and 5.5 milligrams per deciliter. To stay in this range, most people on dialysis need to eat fewer high-phosphorus foods and take some phosphate binders with each meal and snack. These drugs bind with phosphorus and remove it in your stool. Getting more dialysis by doing daily or nocturnal treatments will remove more phosphorus, so you need fewer binders and can eat a more normal diet. In fact, people who do nocturnal HD 5 or 6 nights per week often need phosphate supplements instead of binders because their treatments work so well. Using binders and eating fewer high-phosphorus foods can help to keep your bones healthy. To learn more about eating less phosphorus, listen to Module 9, Nutrition and Fluids for People on Dialysis. Calcium phosphorus product. Your product is your blood calcium level times your blood phosphorus level. This result should be part of your monthly blood test results. The NKF-KDOQI guidelines for people on dialysis say that your product should be less than 55. You can reach this with a lower calcium level, lower phosphorus, or both. The best thing you can do is keep phosphorus in the normal range. Turning to stone, calcified blood vessels. You know that too much phosphorus causes itching and bone problems. Having the wrong levels of calcium and phosphorus in your blood can also harm your blood vessels. Calcium phosphate crystals can form in arteries and veins, making them calcify, turning them quite literally to stone. Stone-like blood vessels can't respond to changes in your activity level. Stone-like heart valves can't pump your blood, which can lead to heart failure. Research has found that phosphate binders based on calcium, like Oscal or Foslo, can cause this problem or make it worse if calcium levels are already too high. Non-calcium binders like Renagel or Fosrenal are less likely to make blood vessels calcify, but they cost more. When you get more dialysis, like daily or nocturnal HD, or if you have a transplant, you don't need to take as many binders. This is something to think about to help you live long and live well with kidney failure. Your doctor can see how much of a problem you have with blood vessel calcification by doing an X-ray, ultrasound, CT scan, or electron beam tomography, EBT. An echocardiogram or echo test to see how well your heart pumps can also help. Do you have calcified blood vessels now? Getting more dialysis may help shrink the deposits. Also, osteoporosis drugs called bisphosphonates show some promise for treating this problem. When crystals attack, extraskeletal calcification and calciphylaxis. A high product means extra calcium and phosphorus are in your blood, where they can form crystals. You may find that you have bone where it doesn't belong. Extraskeletal calcification means bone is forming outside your skeleton. This can happen in your eyes, blood vessels, heart, lungs, or other organs. It may show up as knobs or bumps on top of bones, in joints, or tendons, etc. In some cases, a surgeon can remove these bone lumps to help improve function. Worse, the crystals can harm blood vessels and even cut off blood flow to a finger or toe, a whole limb, or soft tissue. This problem, calciphylaxis, is painful and can be fatal. It occurs in about 4% of people on standard HD. It starts as a red or purple skin mark, often on both arms or legs in the same spot. They may look like bruises. A skin biopsy shows calcium in the tissues. The marks turn black as the skin dies and turns into ulcers that grow larger and won't heal. People with diabetes are at higher risk. Treatment for calciphylaxis may include phosphate binders. They help pull extra phosphorus out of the blood. Antibiotics. It's vital to prevent infection in skin ulcers. Sodium thiosulfate. New studies have found that this drug, which pulls calcium out of the body, may be able to help. The drug is most often given in a vein, but may be given into the peritoneum. Kidney transplant. A new kidney will remove excess calcium and phosphorus from the blood. Parathyroidectomy. Removing most of the parathyroid glands will change the balance of calcium and phosphorus in the body. Hyperbaric oxygen chambers. Used for deep sea divers with the bends, these chambers force oxygen into the tissues and can help heal skin ulcers. Not all hospitals have a hyperbaric oxygen chamber. To find one, put hyperbaric oxygen chamber and the name of your city and state into Google. Amputation. If a problem in a limb is not healing, removing the limb may help save your life. Active vitamin D. Healthy kidneys make a hormone called calcitrol, the active form of vitamin D. Calcitrol helps your gut absorb calcium from the food you eat. What's calcitrol anyway? Your body gets vitamin D in two ways, from foods you eat, like dairy products and fortified bread, and from sunshine on your skin. Your liver and kidneys convert vitamin D into an active form, the hormone calcitrol. A hormone is a chemical signal made in one part of the body that acts on the other part. Calcitrol tells your gut to absorb calcium from your food. When your kidneys fail, they make less calcitrol. This means you can't absorb as much calcium, even if you eat more foods that have it. If your calcitrol blood levels drop, your body will even pull calcium out of your bones. Parathyroid hormone, or PTH. Think of PTH as the withdrawal slip for your bone bank. Each time your blood calcium levels drop, your parathyroid glands kick in. These four small, bean-shaped glands in your neck, behind your thyroid, make PTH. The job of PTH is to jumpstart remodeling to take calcium out of your bones. With failed kidneys, your blood calcium levels may drop so often that your parathyroid glands make PTH over and over. In time, the glands can grow, called hypertrophy. They can get so big that they can't shut off. If your PTH levels are too high, too much calcium will be withdrawn from your bones. This is called secondary hyperparathyroidism, and it can make your bones weak and more likely to break. The type of bone disease caused by secondary hyperparathyroidism is called renal osteodystrophy. Target blood levels of PTH for people on dialysis are from 150 to 300 picograms per milliliter. Treatment for renal osteodystrophy. Bone disease can be prevented or treated with phosphate binders, active vitamin D, by mouth or through a vein, a drug called Sensispar, or cinacalcet hydrochloride, or surgery to remove most of the parathyroid glands. Binders, as you've learned, pull some of the extra phosphorus out of your blood. Vitamin D drugs replace the calcitriol your kidneys no longer make. If your calcium or blood phosphorus levels are too high, you can't take vitamin D. Active vitamin D drugs for dialysis include Rocaltrol, Hectorol, and Zemplar. Sensispar works on the parathyroid gland to lower PTH levels and improve calcium and phosphorus levels. It is a pill that you can take once a day. Removing the parathyroid glands. If your parathyroid glands grow and make too much PTH, your doctor may want to have you have them taken out, a parathyroidectomy. This is most often done with general anesthesia. Most people have four glands in the front of the neck, but they can be hard to find. They may hide in your chest, or you may have more than four. A first parathyroid surgery is usually safe. Having to go back a second time has a higher risk of surgical problems. Ask your surgeon about having an ultrasound before surgery to find the glands, or testing your PTH just before and 10 minutes after taking out the glands to make sure it has dropped enough and no glands were missed. In some cases, the surgeon may place one of the parathyroid glands that were removed into the tissue of your forearm. This way, you can still make some PTH. And if that gland gets too big, it's easy to find and remove. If all of your glands are removed and you make no PTH, you may be able to take PTH injections instead. After the surgery, you may be in an intensive care unit for a few days to keep a close eye on your calcium. When high levels of PTH in your blood fall quickly, hungry bone syndrome can occur. Your bones try to steal calcium from your blood. You'll get to eat as much dairy food as you like in the hospital to keep your blood levels up. You will likely get calcium through an IV. Signs of not having enough calcium in your blood include muscle aches, tremors, or painful cramps, muscle spasms in the face, a tingly or pins and needles feeling in your lips, tongue, fingers, and toes. If you have any of these symptoms after surgery, tell the nurse or doctor right away so they can check your blood again. To keep your bones as healthy as possible, make a plan with your care team to reach your lab value goals. Know your lab values and track them each month. Follow the diet for your type of dialysis. Take all of your drugs as your doctor prescribes them. Our third condition is amyloidosis. Amyloidosis is another long-term dialysis problem that can affect your bones, joints, and tendons. In your body, protein helps form muscles, bones, hair, and nails. Not all protein is good, though. One type of protein your body makes is called beta-2 microglobulin, or B2M. Healthy kidneys remove B2M, which is a middle molecule and a toxin. In 1985, researchers found that B2M molecules left in the body link up and form long chains of amyloid, a hard, waxy substance. Amyloid deposits can form all over the body. They tend to settle in joints, bones, and tendons, where they can harm tissue and cause pain. This is dialysis-related amyloidosis, or DRA. After 5 years or more of standard HD, DRA is a common cause of arthritis-like pain, joint damage, bone cysts that lead to fracture, and carpal tunnel syndrome, which is wrist pain, numbness, and tingling. DRA is also a rare cause of an enlarged tongue, heart problems, cyst or soft tissue tumors, or an inflamed colon. After 20 years on standard in-center HD, 80% of people have DRA. No one knows why 1 in 5 people don't have it. MRIs show amyloid in the body much better than standard X-ray or even CT scans. What it's like to have DRA? What does amyloidosis feel like? David said, "I've been on hemodialysis for about 18 years and have been having problems with dialysis-related amyloidosis, or DRA, for about 8 years. It is giving me problems with arthritis in my shoulders, hands, hips, and neck, and carpal tunnel syndrome in both wrists. I have had several operations on my hands, 3 on my wrists. My neck has gotten so bad recently that my doctors believe that I need to have my cervical spine stabilized to keep my neck from easily breaking. But the bones in my neck may be too brittle to support the bracing, making the surgery ill-advised. What is carpal tunnel surgery like? People who have been through carpal tunnel surgery explain. Lee says, I had carpal tunnel surgery done probably 5 years ago with no problems. I had it done on both hands about 2 weeks apart. I had tape and gauze wrapped around my hand for 10 to 14 days. I was encouraged not to use the hand while it was wrapped up. I never used a brace. Everything turned out fine. Mary says, after 26 years of ESRD and 15 of pounding away on the computer, I also have neuropathy and carpal tunnel. I had my right hand done in May, and I am very happy with the improvement. It hasn't eliminated all pain and numbness in my hand, but has lessened it greatly. Preventing DRA. If you were going to start dialysis today, how could you reduce your chance of having harmful buildup of amyloid in your body? There are two main steps you can take. The first one, choose a treatment that removes more B2M. PD and standard in-center HD take out some B2M, but not enough to keep blood levels normal. Better HD membranes mean more B2M is removed today than in the past. Daily and nocturnal HD remove much more BTM. A kidney transplant will also remove more B2M. Getting a transplant before starting dialysis is called preemptive transplant. The second is, use ultra-pure water for dialysis. Inflammation seems to make DRA occur faster. Ultra-pure water has less endotoxin, toxic pieces of the cell wall of dead bacteria. It may cause less inflammation in your body. Ask your clinic if it uses ultra-pure water for dialysis. Treating DRA. There is no pill to treat amyloidosis. Treatment is based on trying to help ease the symptoms or fix the damage. Some things that have been tried include steroid injections to help reduce inflammation, NSAID pills to help with pain, though these can reduce kidney function and cause stomach bleeding, physical therapy to help movement, surgery to remove amyloid from the carpal tunnel or other joints, switching to a form of dialysis that takes out more B2M, a kidney transplant. An adsorptive column used in dialysis has been found in studies to remove large amounts of B2M from the blood. The column attracts B2M like a magnet. This is costly and not yet in wide use, but it may help treat DRA in the future. With so much research going on, you'll want to keep an eye on science news. New breakthroughs will occur to prevent or treat DRA. If you have amyloidosis, you may want to join a clinical trial. See www.clinicaltrials.gov. Often free treatment is given to people in clinical trials. The fourth condition we'll talk about is neuropathy, or nerve damage. Your nerves are like phone cables. They take signals to and from your body's surface, to your spinal cord, or your central switchboard. When someone strokes your hand, that signal is carried by a nerve to your spinal cord. If someone pokes your hand with a tack, you may feel this in a different way, and your nerves let you tell which is which. Neuropathy is nerve damage. On dialysis, this most often affects peripheral nerves in the hands and feet. Nerves can be harmed by squeezing them through a too tight space. For instance, in carpal tunnel syndrome, nerves to the hand are squeezed at the wrist. Immune disease that attacks the nerves. Poor blood flow. This is more likely in the legs and feet, but may happen in the hands. Infection, such as shingles. Diabetes. Half of people with diabetes have some degree of nerve damage. Poisons, like lead or mercury. Nerve damage can change sensation, so soft fur might feel prickly to you. Or you may have nerve damage without any symptoms. It can take years to feel the damage. How does neuropathy feel? Bill says, after 17 years of dialysis, my neuropathy comes in two flavors. One, if I've been walking or standing for about 15 to 20 minutes, it feels like my feet are falling asleep. Pins and needles. This sensation continues until I sit down. But I put up with it because I have places to go, people to see. The other thing I get is hot feet. This strikes more randomly. I think taking vitamin B may help. I take them and dialyze daily, yet I have neuropathy. But after 18 years of ESRD, who's to say if my neuropathy would be worse if I had run less or didn't take vitamins? I've always taken a prescribed renal vitamin. I'd for sure talk to your doc about thiamine or Bs in general. Why not take bees? They're pretty inexpensive. However, insurance won't pay for them. At least mine won't. Bob says, my feet don't itch, but boy do they burn. Yes, they do. They burn as if I were standing on the very doorstep of hell and just itching to go in. The thing that I find gives most relief is standing on a cold floor. But as this can become tiresome after the first couple of hours, I have rescued a spare stone tile left over from a kitchen makeover and keep this at the foot of my favorite armchair and plonk my bare tootsies on it. This helps a bit. Dialysis and nerves. Neuropathy in people on dialysis is quite common. From 60 to 100% may have it. Why? In one study, more active nerves were found right after HD treatments. Toxins that built up in the blood may poison the nerves. We don't know which toxins are to blame. One clue points to potassium. Studies have found that high potassium levels slow nerve function. Another middle molecule may also be at fault. TNF-alpha has been found in higher levels in people on PD who have neuropathy than in those who don't. Symptoms of neuropathy. You may or may not have any symptoms of nerve problems. Here's a list of them. Tingling. I have pins and needles in my hands or feet. Pain. I have stabbing or shooting pains in my hands or feet. My hands or feet feel like they are burning. My feet are very sensitive to touch, like the covers on them at night. My feet hurt at night. My hands and feet get very hot or cold. Numbness and weakness. My feet are numb. I don't feel any pain in my feet, even when I have a sore. I can't feel my feet when I walk. The muscles in my feet and legs are weak. The muscles in my hands or feet have shrunk or wasted away. I have foot drop, or a hard time lifting my toes when I walk. I'm unsteady when I walk or stand. I can't feel heat or cold in my hands or feet. Other symptoms. It seems like the muscles and bones in my feet have changed. It feels like I'm walking on marbles. I have open sores on my feet and legs that heal slowly. And for men only, I have trouble getting an erection. If you have symptoms, be sure to tell a member of your healthcare team about them. Some can be caused by other health problems, so you'll need to be checked by a doctor to be sure. Knowing about neuropathy is the first step in doing something about it. Keep listening, and we'll talk about preventions and treatments next. Neuropathy, protect your feet. If you have neuropathy, it is vital to check your feet each day because you may not feel a blister or sore. Without treatment, these small injuries can become ulcers that won't heal and can lead to the loss of a toe, foot, or leg. Even if you can't feel your feet, you can still protect them, and here's how. Wear comfortable, well-fitting shoes and socks all the time, even indoors. Keep your feet clean and dry them well after you bathe or shower. Each bedtime, use a mirror to see the bottoms of your feet. Look for blisters, sores, cuts, or breaks in the skin. Be sure to look between your toes. Use your hands to feel for hot or cold spots, bumps, or dry skin. Check for calluses, red areas, swelling, ingrown toenails, and toenail infections. Use lotion to soothe your dry feet. See a podiatrist to cut your toenails and remove calluses, especially if you have diabetes. Never use a razor on your feet, like during a pedicure. If you find any problems, call your doctor for treatment right away. Early treatment can keep a small problem from becoming a much bigger one later on. Preventing neuropathy. Clearly, the best defense is a good offense. You are best off if you can avoid neuropathy. Research shows that neuropathy mainly happens when the GFR, the amount of filtering, is less than 12 milliliters per minute. Another study found that neuropathy was more likely the longer one was on standard in-center HD and the lower the dose of treatment. Men had more problems than women because they are larger and need more blood cleaning. These findings mean you may be able to prevent nerve damage by getting your blood cleaner with two dialyzers in sequence. This is not common practice, but can be done with some machines. Daily HD or nocturnal HD. Two other steps may also help you avoid neuropathy. Prevent vitamin deficiencies. Dialysis removes B vitamins. Ask your dietitian what foods you can eat that are rich in B vitamins. If you don't take a renal vitamin with thiamine, B1, B6, and other Bs, ask your doctor or dietitian to suggest one. It is best taken after dialysis because the treatment can remove it. B vitamins really count. Here's one patient's experience with adding B vitamins. Deborah says, "I was having foot numbness or burning, which I was thinking was neuropathy from being on dialysis too long. The resident suggested it was beriberi, or thiamine vitamin B1 deficiency. Within a week, my feet felt fine. I had never seen this as a possibility in any of the renal literature, though when I looked up thiamine deficiency, one of the causes is loss of thiamine from dialysis. I knew my B12 was being depleted rapidly. I should have been a little quicker on the ball about vitamin B1, as all the vitamin Bs are water-soluble and getting removed during dialysis. The other is prevent mineral deficiencies. Dialysis also removes zinc. In a random double-blind crossover study, adding zinc to dialysate helped nerve function and sense of taste. Before you take zinc or any supplement, talk with your nephrologist and your dietitian. There is a risk that any drug or herb can build up to toxic levels. If you have diabetes, keeping your blood sugar in target range can also help you prevent nerve damage. Ask your doctor to refer you to a certified diabetes educator, nurse, or dietitian. They have extra training in diabetes care and can teach you to manage your diabetes. Treating neuropathy. Once nerve damage occurs, you may need to try a number of things to get relief from the pain and numbness. Get more dialysis. Even if you have nerve damage symptoms, keeping your blood cleaner may help them from getting worse, and it may even help them to get a bit better. Relieve pressure. If you have carpal tunnel syndrome, a nerve problem, you may need surgery to free up space in your wrists for your nerves to fit. Treat vitamin deficiencies. Dialysis removes vitamin B6. Taking B6 helped relieve nerve pain in people on PD and on HD. If you don't take a renal vitamin, ask your doctor or dietitian to suggest one. Pain control for neuropathy. A number of drugs and non-drug approaches have been used to treat nerve pain. Some of these can have side effects, and it can take time to find one that helps you. Over-the-counter pain pills. If your symptoms are mild, acetaminophen or Tylenol, or an NSAID like Motrin, Aleve, or Advil may help. NSAIDs can reduce your remaining kidney function and cause stomach bleeding. Antidepressants. Low doses of some tricyclic or SSRI antidepressants can help pain and sleep problems along with depression. Some of these drugs may cause thoughts of suicide. Tell your doctor if you're starting to think of harming yourself so he or she can switch you to a different drug. Capsaicin cream. Products made with the ingredients that gives chili peppers their heat can help nerve pain. You rub them on your skin, but keep the cream away from your eyes. Lidocaine patch. If your pain is mostly in one place, a skin patch with a topical anesthetic may help. You may need to use a new patch up to 3 times per day. Anti-seizure drugs. Some drugs in this class, such as Neurontin or Gabapentin, Requip, Tegretol, Dilantin, and Lyrica, may help relieve some nerve pain. These drugs are very strong and have many side effects. Dosage may be less in dialysis patients. Prescription pain pills. Opiate drugs like codeine, morphine, or OxyContin may relieve pain, but can cause addiction. A new option for diabetic neuropathy, alpha-lipoic acid, or ALA. Research has found that the antioxidant ALA can reduce the pain of diabetic neuropathy. In one study by the Mayo Clinic and a clinic in Russia, ALA was given by vein each day for 3 weeks. Patients who got ALA had a 5.7 reduction on a 10-point pain scale. Those in the placebo group had only a 1.8 reduction. Besides reducing pain, ALA also helps nerve function. In the U.S., ALA may only be offered as a pill. A randomized controlled double-blind study found that 600 milligrams a day of ALA also helped diabetic nerve pain. As always, talk with your doctor before taking any supplements or over-the-counter pill. Other drugs. A heart rhythm drug called Mexitil may help burning pain, but this drug can worsen heart failure. Relaxation. Tensing your muscles can make your pain worse. A gentle form of yoga, tai chi, meditation, or guided imagery may help you learn to relax. Acupuncture. Very thin needles are used to stimulate vital energy in the body. You may need a few treatments, and they can be costly. Some insurance plans cover acupuncture. Hypnosis. While you are in a light trance, you are given suggestions to help you feel less pain. You can be taught to hypnotize yourself. TENS unit. A small machine sends electrical pulses to help block the path of nerve pain through your skin. It is safe and painless and may help. Neuropathy is common in dialysis, but you can take steps to prevent it or to treat it once it happens. Talk with your doctor to be sure you are doing all that you can to keep your nerves healthy. Whether you are looking down the road and doing what you can to protect yourself, or are dealing with long-term problems caused by dialysis, we hope that you have found some help in this module. Knowledge is power. Making informed choices about your health can improve your quality of life and help you live more fully. This is the conclusion of Module 16 of Kidney School. We hope you have enjoyed it and found it helpful, and will listen to the other modules.